What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey everyone, I'm Jacqueline Johnson, the founder of Create and Cultivate, and this is Work Party, a podcast for a new generation of women who are ditching the rule book and redefining the meaning of work on their own terms. In each episode, we bring in leading female entrepreneurs for real talk advice on the topics that matter most to the modern career woman. From hiring to mentorship to raising money and so much more, whether you are pivoting to a new industry, negotiating a raise, turning your side hustle into a full-time gig, or pitching your company to investors, we're giving you the tips and tricks you need to take your career to the next level. Are you ready to make some money moves? Well, welcome to Work Party, the podcast. Welcome back to another episode of Work Party, the podcast that's part work, part party. Work Party celebrates a new generation of women and femmes who are redefining the meaning of work on their own terms. And today's guest is Mary Lawless Lee. She has been making content online for over a decade. Mary joined the first wave of influencers by launching her blog, Happily Gray, as a creative outlet while working as an ICU nurse in Texas. Since then, Happily Gray has transformed from an online journal into a fashion and lifestyle brand with a loyal combined social presence of 2.6 million followers. Most recently, Mary broke into the wellness space with Nima, a vegan skincare line formulated specifically for mothers. All of Nima's products, from scar treatments to balms, are developed with sustainability and efficacy in mind, as well as a thoughtful approach to their ingredients. So tune in as Mary shares how she pivoted from a career in the ICU to a career as a serial entrepreneur, launched a successful skincare line, wrote a book, and so much more. So welcome to the show, Mary.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Big fan.
Oh, so excited to have you and to dive into your incredible story. So before starting your blog, as I mentioned, you were an ICU nurse. So how did you make the decision to leave your career and become a full-time content creator?
Yeah. Totally different worlds than where I'm at now. And this decision definitely was not something that I did overnight, nor was it an easy decision. You know, it was really hard for me to give up patient care. At the time, that's what I loved about nursing, and that's really what I still miss today. So it was a slow progression. I went part-time, and then I finally convinced myself to go PRN. But at the time, you know, the money outweighed nursing. And, you know, I was kind of a creeper with it. I like slowly waited for this new digital world because, you know, at the time, influencer blogger was not a thing. Instagram and Pinterest had just launched. And so it wasn't like the big world that it is today. And so it was definitely something that I had to learn to trust. People were looking at me like, what are you doing? And why are you doing that? Why are you taking pictures of yourself? And so it was a slow evolution, but the autonomy and leaning into like my first dabble in like this entrepreneurial world was so fun and so exciting in every way. And so that's eventually, you know, what made me take that leap into it.
Yeah, I love that because it's so true. Back in that time period, the monetization piece was like kind of a big question mark. Yeah. It was like maybe brands would pay you, but like affiliate marketing, all these platforms where creators can monetize just did not exist. So it definitely was like a scary leap. So tell us a little bit about some of those challenges you faced when you first made the leap. Like talk to us about, you know, launching your different businesses. Like what were some of the biggest lessons you learned?
Yeah. I mean, so I think one of the biggest challenges in the entrepreneurial world back then, and even still today, is just team, building a team, managing a team, hiring a team, or really just any step of delegating anything to anyone was the first big hurdle for me, especially having a brand that is in the influencer space. It's so personal. You are the brand. And so trusting someone with that tone and, you know, the different aspects of it was really hard for me. And then past that, you know, now we're a team of nine in Nashville. We have an office in West Nashville. And really, it's just about managing that small team. And I didn't go to school for this. So I like have learned, I learn every day. I learn on the go. I hired a culture coach a year ago that's really helped with that process. Like, you know, it's really appealing to my team members when they hear we have a culture coach, but I find it even more valuable, like from a leader standpoint, that he's helped me with, you know, how to navigate things, how to approach things. And so I've learned a lot from that. But you know, I think the biggest thing with each season of business is just learning how to pivot and evolving. And as I've had people come and go, like taking a step back and giving myself the time to, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? What can I do better? What did I learn from this person? And so, you know, when I sit down with other entrepreneurs, those are the conversations we have. How can we better manage our team? How can we better put people in the right positions, doing the right jobs, so they feel motivated and excited? And it's a lot easier said than done.
Oh, definitely. I love the idea of a culture coach. I think that's so amazing because I think this has happened a lot over the last 5 years, you know, myself included. I didn't go to business school. I didn't know or set out to manage a team of, you know, 30 plus people. And you're learning on the job in many ways, and it can be really challenging. So tell me a little bit about, like, what are some of the things you've learned from your culture coach? Any tips you would share with other business owners?
Yeah, I mean, even just the simple, like being the first to admit, like, okay, look, I don't know what's our right next move here, but let me step away and think about this. I think, like, you know, you do not have to seem all knowing and, you know, having the plan in place with your team. That's why it's a team, it's a group effort. And so our team, I'm only as strong as the ones around me. And so I try to hire women that are smarter than me. And so I really lean on them, and they really play, each of them plays a pivotal role in the decision-making. I purposely bring them in so that they feel that they have skin in the game so they can make those big decisions. And that's kind of been one of the biggest steps of bringing this culture coach in, is at that time I was making all those decisions, and I kind of was like, you know, like, here's your assignment, here's your job description. And I feel like he almost restructured in a way to allow them to be in the stepping back and allow them to be in that decision-making process and really building and implementing so that they feel like they're a part of the foundation that we're setting here. And I think that's really, structurally really important. So people feel, you know, like they're important. They're an important piece of the puzzle here.
Totally. And I love that because it was so funny. I was talking to someone about this today, but like when you write that job description, you know, you put it out into the universe, things change so fast. Like in, you know, platforms change, you know, types of content. Like it's almost like it has to be revisited every 90 days or something just to keep up with like the demands of like the world right now because things change. But to your point, job clarity is so important in understanding the goals, what you're supposed to do, how they can best support you. I think that's amazing advice. So I love that.
Even just like having regular meetings. We have, before him, I was doing regular evals, and, you know, evals are a time for a two-way street of communication. And so like regularly with new employees, it's every 4 weeks, but with the people that have been here, it's twice a year. But sitting down and having a conversation, like, what's going on? How are you doing? What can I do better for you? You know, it's just a two-way street of communication. I think that's really important, clear communication.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with a small team, it's so, so important. So let's talk about your second business. So obviously you have the Merry, Lawless, Happily Gray side of the business, but then you have your second business, which is Slant Nima. Where did the idea for this brand come from?
Yeah, so excited to talk about Nima. It's like my new little baby in a way. So like you said earlier, my background is in nursing. I was a critical care nurse for 7 years. And I didn't step away from nursing because I wasn't in love with it. You know, the natural evolution of this creative outlet, it kind of took a life of its own. And so I have kind of been in search for how can I marry, you know, my past experience as a ICU nurse, patient care, you know, what I really, really loved and got a lot of, you know, gratification from doing with this new digital world that I kind of accidentally stepped into. And, you know, as a nurse, you're in this highly emotional, intensive moment in this person's life. And when I became a mother, that was when the dots really connected for me. I thought about apparel. I thought about, you know, doing a shoe line, all this different stuff. But when I became a mother, I had this kind of moment of this epiphany of like, wow, like this is connecting the dots. I couldn't get my hands on the products I wanted. And it just made sense to this evolution of a line that could serve mothers and provide solutions to mothers for the products that were missing that were on the market. And also in a way, let me use like all these tools in my past career to, you know, patient care and being able to nurture and put some of that science into work. And so for me, it was this perfect hybrid of kind of merging both of my lines of experience that I had been, you know, kind of in the last decade.
Amazing. So launching and developing a product feels like so overwhelming to me. And I think for a lot of people, that's the hardest part, right? They have the idea, but then you actually have to go make this product. So talk to us about the product development phase. Like, how did you figure out the ingredients? I know you were very like, you know, picky about that early on. So tell us a little bit about actually developing the product.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the biggest learning curve of all, finding the right manufacturer. Really, really hard. Anyone that's in product development space will probably share in that. You know, I knew from the beginning, if I was going to do this, we work in a whitelist formulas. I was not just going to slap my name on something. And that was a lot. You know, we took the longer, harder road, but there was no cutting corners, especially in this category, pregnancy, skincare, baby, like there are no cutting corners. And so we also didn't have the luxury to be in this beauty incubator program to help us launch. So we really had to take the long road and we did a lot of the research ourselves. I mean, truly like just reading different publications, we ended up discovering our manufacturer from Beauty Independent, which is a great skincare beauty publication. And they are an ingredient manufacturer. And yes, it took longer. And, you know, again, they weren't the beauty incubator. So all those things outside of the ingredient bubble, like packaging, marketing, regulatory, that took longer because we were doing all that. And it's a new space. And so we are learning on the go. And so while, you know, all of it was so important, we knew we were going to cut corners. It definitely took more time and resources, but we knew we had to because I wanted to create the best formulas with the highest efficacy that we could. And I think that's just really important that you take those steps. And now we're with a manufacturer that's based in California that kind of has a broader aspect of their product development. And so we're able to move a little bit more quicker and be a little bit more nimble. But, you know, in the beginning, it took a long time because we had to kind of take those steps to learn the process ourselves.
Which will probably pay off in spades in the long run because you know so much about the products and what goes into it. Obviously, there's a ton of research, like you said, when it comes to baby moms, anything that touches your skin, like you have to be extra careful. Were there any restrictions that you came up against when formulating the product for pregnant, you know, women? How did that sort of work?
Yeah, I mean, with anything in this space, well, one, we developed in the EU, in Europe, and so all of our products were EU and Canadian certified. And so you just, any claim you make in the EU has a much higher, you know, level of claim to it than here in the States. And so that was important to us. So like what we were putting on the packaging took so much longer than what we thought, because you can't just say anything and everything. They will only allow certain things. They're very restrictive. And then, you know, everything we did was more rigorously tested. All of that takes time. I mean, even just one of those tests could take 6 weeks. And then, you know, four or five of those tests, you're months later. And so all of our formulas, they're vegan, they're hypoallergenic, they're dermatologist tested, they're, like I said, EU compliant. And so they also do contain active ingredients. Our formulas are not organic. And this was a huge learning curve for us. It was important to me that we were botanically driven, but also science-backed. I wanted to have the science and I wanted it to be transparent. I wanted people to go to our website and be able to like really understand and take in every single ingredient. And, you know, we went into this thinking we're going to have the most organic formulas, but sometimes products that are organic really aren't the best options, and they could be less effective depending on the space, depending on the type of product. And so that was a huge learning curve for us. And, you know, all of those things you have to really take into account, especially in this category where things have to be more rigorously tested for moms and babies.
Absolutely. Wow. So it sounds like you did a lot. You probably learned a lot as well. But I want to talk about how you use the affiliate data from Happily Gray, from your audience, to help make decisions about the brand, especially when it came to the price point. Can you talk a little bit about using that data and what were some of the, you know, key things that you learned?
Yeah. So the last decade, I've had the luxury of having all of this affiliate data. And we really, I mean, when I say we knit and picked all of that data, we really did. All of it was used to create the, you know, the type of product, the price per shopping cart, the colors, just the conversation I was having online with people, what they value. You can learn so much when you figure out what people value, because that's where they'll spend their money and that's what matters to them. And you know, this space especially, women tend to spend more money in this space because they want the cleanest formulas. They want the safest formulas that they're putting on their skin and their child's skin. And so for us, we took all of that data and the online conversations I had been having. And, you know, those really ramped up too when I became a mother and I started asking my readers in my community, hey, what are you guys using? I can't find, you know, this isn't clean. And they were, you know, echoing the same message. One of my friends who's actually this model and has the ability to get her hands on anything that she would like, she made her own stretch cream formula. She created her own. And I remember her telling me that. And I just was like, wow, this is actually reality in this space. And so using that affiliate data was huge.
Yeah. I always say the best brands solve a problem. And so if you're seeing a problem in the market or you're hearing about one, you know, I think that's a great place to start when you're looking to build a business. One of the best parts about being an investor is sharing advice with small business owners so they can grow and flourish. But it also means supporting them in times of uncertainty. With inflation holding steady, it's important now more than ever to understand the ins and outs of your business. One piece of advice I always share is know your numbers. If you don't know your numbers, you don't know what's going on with your business. Over 33,000 businesses know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system that can help you to power your growth. With NetSuite, business owners can manage accounting, HR, inventory, operations, fulfillment, and more from a single application. The platform makes it easy to automate manual processes like invoicing and budget tracking so you can better serve customers, identify new opportunities for growth, and outpace your competition. And speaking of growth, 93% of businesses increase their visibility after upgrading to NetSuite. That's huge. Not only is it the number one cloud financial system, it's work party approved. Because integrating data into a centralized system not only improves the efficiency and accuracy of financial processes, it enables quicker, more informed decision-making, which we know is so important. For the new year, NetSuite has a new financing program for those that are ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/party. Head to netsuite.com/party for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/party.
Hi, everyone. I'm Summer McKean, a content creator and best sister of the year.
Hi, I'm her sister, Bree. I'm actually a 10-time winner of that award. Together, we are the hosts of the podcast, Wavy.
Okay. Every Wednesday, we bring you into the fun, exciting, hopefully helpful, and mostly chaotic world of our sisterly chats about everything and anything.
From living in a world of comparisons, to boy drama, to the life changes that feel really overwhelming, we got your back.
So please, support the show with a like and follow to keep up with all of our latest sister shenanigans.
Get Wavy on Wednesdays.
We'll see you soon.
So now you have, I want to say two companies, but it feels like more. But what is your advice for like being sort of a multi-hyphenate CEO where you have multiple businesses, employees that are working on different things? Like, are there challenges? Are there advantages? And like, how are you sort of navigating that role?
Yeah. Well, we have Nima, our skincare brand, but then we also have a store shop, Happily Gray in West Nashville. And so, yeah, I mean, honestly, it's a jungle balancing between the two. And also I didn't go to school for either sort of these businesses. And so as a founder and a leader, I'm learning a lot on the go. I'm humbled every day by the new that it brings on. But I think that it's about having the right team around you. I keep saying that, but if anything I've learned in the last 3 years that we've launched both of these businesses. It's about having the right people in the right positions. And that's even not just the right team, but then like utilizing the person's skill set to really best suit that position. And that's been really attributed the success of the evolution of both of these brands, of having the right people. I co-founded Nemo with my husband, Madison. And as hard as it is to work with your spouse at times, it's also, you know, really amazing because there's no one that cares and no one that, you know, is excited about the mission as much as you are. And I think it's really important to find people that really believe in that same and that they will trust you to kind of lead them in that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think that's great advice. Yes. I mean, we could have a whole other episode about working with a spouse.
Right?
We could say, yeah.
It's tricky.
It's tricky. It, again, has its pros and its cons, I'm sure. But what I love to kind of talk to you about is the fact that brands come to you to promote their products, right? Like they come to you and they're like, help us get this out in the world. And now you have your own brand. So what has your approach to marketing been with Nemo? Are you doing a lot of influencer marketing, paid marketing? What's been really working for mm-hmm. the brand?
Yeah. So, you know, this has been, honestly, the marketing has been one of the trickier pieces after kind of getting past the manufacturer push of like what that looks like. Marketing has kind of in a sneaky way been tricky because, you know, one of our hero products is a stretch mark cream. And in a way that has this, it can seem as if that has this very narrow appeal to it. And we've kind of in the beginning have marketed ourselves as a pregnancy product, but in the same sentence, the stretch mark cream, our nipple and lip balm, a lot of our products have a, you know, use outside of just breastfeeding or outside of just pregnancy or C-section scars. And so I think now we're trying to move beyond that pregnancy bubble and appeal to a broader audience, showing, you know, our scar treatment used on acne scars on the face, on burns, on, you know, ACL knee repairs. We're like creating that messaging. So that's been a learning curve for sure. You know, I think ultimately there's never been a more drastic buying shift habits in women that become, you know, pregnant. They, you know, so we hopefully can capture that woman, you know, when they become pregnant. And then we would like to be able to build out those products and gain her trust and hopefully have her using her products for all her needs thereafter. And, you know, past that with marketing inclusivity, not just in the body, our body shapes and skin color, but also in the journey. A big part of our messaging was a big part of my passion was creating this community of support that talked about miscarriages, fertility struggles, IVF. I think a lot of times women on those journeys feel so isolated because a lot of these brands, you know, they're trying to sell their products and that's who they push to. And in reality, I think there's a whole nother aspect of support and community that we can really capture. And that's what was important to me when I became a mom and seeing my sisters go through some of those battles. And so that has been a big part of our messaging, our social impact. We have worked with Every Mother Counts. A portion of our proceeds go to One Tree Planted. We're also actually talking with Half the Story, which you introduced us to, which we're very excited. We love them and their mission and what they're doing. And so that our social impact is also a really big part of our marketing push.
I love that. So what channels are you finding to be the most effective when it comes to marketing? Are you using TikTok? Is it email? Is it texting? Like, where are you seeing, you know, the most resonation with your audience?
Instagram and TikTok. We are 98% D2C, but we hope to be on Amazon soon. But I think really those social platforms, especially having the kind of the existing infrastructure of my brand kind of built on Instagram, that has been a really big platform for us. But, you know, we're also leaning into other platforms like Geneva, which is an ambassador program.
Yeah.
I am obsessed with it. It's like, I feel like it's a way to escape these social platforms and not feel so reliant on these social platforms and have conversations with women on, you know, on a platform that doesn't feel so tied to, you know, the toxicity of some of these social platforms do at times.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's so true. It's tough because it's like you have to be everywhere creating different types of content that resonates with that platform. And especially obviously given your product, the timing has to be right with, you know, who you're going after. It's a lot. So I think taking, you know, advantage of some of these outside platforms is really smart. So Lastly, you just wrote a book. Congratulations. Stories, Souvenirs, and Everyday Wonders from the Life in Between. It's absolutely gorgeous and very unique for a book. So can you tell us a little bit about that process and about the book itself?
Yeah. This was like something I've wanted to do my entire life. It took about a year to write this book, but I really feel like I've been writing this book since I was 11, like in my bed under the covers with like a flashlight. Because journaling and writing have always been a part of my life. It's kind of my form of meditation and my where I really go to like find my balance. And so this book is it's half memoir, half coffee table. It's 12 short stories, and they are very intimate. And it's really sharing the other side of the story. I feel like I've gotten to kind of share the highlight reel the last 10 years, and I'm kind of exhausted by it. And I'm looking and yearning for something more, and for start having more conversations about, you know, more important, bigger things. And so this book really opens the door to that. And I was excited to kind of have the sacred space of these pages to share these stories, and then hopes of being able to have these conversations online. I talk about my divorce at 21. I talk about my struggle with my eating disorder, finding love, having kids, motherhood, balance, business. I mean, I really didn't leave anything off the table. I was a little like, oh shit, we're really going to do this. We're really doing this. And there's just, we held nothing back.
I love it. I mean, look, I think it's so important because, you know, when you look at your Instagram, and I've been following you for, I mean, I want to say like 10 years, you know, it looks perfect. It looks absolutely perfect. And we all know the realities of life, right? And, you know, getting to know you in person, and, you know, it just, I think it's so brave and so awesome that you were able to do that. And as I mentioned, like, the stories are incredible, but the book itself is so beautiful and very much a reflection of your brand. So I think this is a new format we're going to see more and more of, the memoir/coffee table book. I think it's awesome. So looking back on your career, what kind of learnings are the most relevant to you in this season of entrepreneurship that you're in right now? What are some of the things that are coming up for you? Obviously, you know, you've launched multiple brands, you have your beautiful children, even another one on the way. I mean, there's a lot going on for you.
You know, I think the biggest lesson and what my focus is on is, one, nurturing what's in place. Last year was a big year. We launched a lot of different things, and as an entrepreneur, kind of new thing. So nurturing what's in place, learning and growing. And then the biggest thing is saying no, knowing when to say no. I mean, I think it's, saying yes to the right things that come about, but knowing when to really be discerning of your time and when to say no. It's harder. It's easier said than done. But that's my focus this year, nurturing what's in place and knowing when to say no.
I love that. I'm really horrible at saying no to things too. So don't worry, you're not alone in that. Let's end with some rapid fire questions. Most rewarding thing about being a founder is?
Creating a product that hopefully is providing a solution for people, making an impact on their life.
Absolutely. And the wellness practice I can't get enough of is?
I love this one. My plants.
Oh, yes. You are a crazy plant mom. I love it.
I love my plants on Sundays for like 2 hours. It's just me and my plants, and while my kids are napping. And I just love what adding greens to a space does.
Honestly, it's impressive. I'm not great with plants. I can garden, but plants are always dying on me.
It takes time. Mm. I was so, so terrible at it. But over the last 10 years, I'll like buy a plant and I don't let myself buy anything else for like 6 months. And I learned that plant, I learned how to take care of it, and then we add. And so over the last decade, it's grown, but it's so fun.
Oh, I love that. Okay. An entrepreneur I admire is?
Jen Atkins. Always admired her for her grit and her grace. Amber Vince. And this is going to sound really cheesy, but you, Jack.
Oh my God.
I swear to God, it really is. I think of you and just different aspects of all your businesses and what you've gone on to do with New Money Ventures all the time. So,
oh, Mary, you're the best. Well, can you tell everyone where they can find out about Nima, Happily Gray, and your book?
So in my profile on Instagram, the both of those tags and brand tags are there, but Nima.com is our website, and shophappilygray.com is the book is being sold there. It's sold on Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble.
Amazing. Thank you so much,
Thank
Mary.
Thank you, Jacqueline. This is awesome.
For more inspiring conversations like this one, follow the Work Party Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to rate and review us or show us some love on social. We love seeing you tune in every week and share your favorite episodes. We're at Work Party on Instagram and at It's a Work Party on Facebook and Twitter. I'm your host, Jacqueline Johnson, and this is Work Party.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.